welcome. I don't know if you, I'm Andy, if you don't know me, please come and find me afterwards and have a chat. And you know what, even if you do know me, come and find me afterwards and have a chat. It's fine. Just talk to me, please. Obviously, we're continuing our series in Psalms, and this week, this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 93, which is a short but very powerful psalm. Just five verses that proclaim the truth that anchors our faith in turbulent times. The Lord reigns. I'm hoping I'm pressing the right button here. Yeah. So that's what we're going to be concentrating on. The Lord reigns. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord, please fill our hearts and our minds with the things you are speaking to us through the word and worship this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that we leave changed and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So building on what Alice was talking about a couple of weeks ago when she spoke on her psalm, I thought it'd be good to give some background. So Psalm 93 we're looking at, we don't know who wrote it, but it is all about God's kingship, his sovereignty, his reign. And they think it's probably written around the time of the Babylonian exile. Who knows when that was? Well done for those who know where it was. There'll be lots of questions, I won't. It's about 2,500 years ago. When the Babylonians captured the Israelites. And normally, because the Babylonians, what they did was they would take you out of your land, whichever their country they captured, check out the land and put you into a different land. Good way of controlling people. So not in their own place. That's what they did 2,500 years ago. And we think that the Israelites probably wrote this psalm because they said, our earthly king has been killed, probably, most likely. And therefore, God, where are you? God, you're our king. And also, when you look at the surrounding nations around Israel, they all had kings, gods. But it'd be a god of war, god of nature, god of this, god of that. But actually, the Israelites had one god, made up of three people. And that God not only reigned and ruled Israel, he did the whole cosmos. The whole universe was under his control. Big difference to the local nations. Anyway, let's read the psalm. Yeah, already? So we can see Yahweh reigns. Yep. Anyone know what that is? What language? Greek is a good guess. New Testament is Greek. Old Testament, Hebrew. It does say at the top. So it was a test of intelligence. I would have failed. The reason why, because the Old Testament written in Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic as well. Old New Testament, Greek, little bit of Aramaic as well. But I thought it's good to see it in the original language because something struck me when I read this psalm for the first time. And when I thought about it, I thought, actually, we need to just look at a bit of Hebrew, which we'll look at in more detail shortly, because what struck me, I think, is quite powerful and is significant. So I thought, as we got Hebrew up, these here represent the verse numbers. So verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. Verse 5, for instance, I thought I'd pick that one because I'd have to point so far. That's the letter Hey in Hebrew. Because Hebrew doesn't have numbers. It uses letters to represent numbers. So the alphabet, 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet, no vowels. So the first 10 are numbers 1 to 10. 11th letter is probably 20, 12th letter, 30, and so on. So it's how they do the numbers, it's how they count. And in fact, the Greek's the same. Greek don't use numbers like we do. We have a separate set of numbers. Greeks don't. So Greeks have letters representing numbers. So when you say the name of the devil is 666, that is actually three letters. Anyway, you can look it up. Don't need to go into it now. So you probably notice it's sort of justified this side. When you read Hebrew, you read from right to left. as opposed to left to right as well. Good. This is the English version. This is what we will be reading shortly. Notice we correlate Lord. So it says the word Lord five times in five verses. To me, the psalmist is telling us something. The word Lord in English needs to be explored. And that's what I want to look at now. Oops. So, when Moses was asked by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, God spoke to him, asked him to do that. And Moses says, Israelites aren't going to believe me. Who can I say has sent me? And God said, he used his name. God gave his name, I am who I am. Think about it. I am who I am. That is amazing. Could you say that to yourself? I am who I am. No insecurity, no issues. I am very confident in who I am. I am who I am. Only God could say that. It's just absolutely amazing. And when you see the I am who I am is one word in Hebrew. Yahweh. Pronounced there with vowels, but there's no vowels. Back then, there was no vowels. The modern-day Hebrew has vowels. You see these little symbols at the bottom, these little notations? That's how they put vowels in, and it's how they've learned to pronounce the words. So they can work out how to pronounce that word, because here, just the four letters, no vowels. You have to know how you're going to pronounce it. Well, actually, did you know the Jews never say that word? They cannot say it. It's so holy, they will never use the word Yahweh. In fact, it's probably only the Christians that do. So they will not say Yahweh. In fact, they'll say alternate Hebrew names like Elohim or Adonai, or which is very similar to the Greek, or Hashem. So Hashem in Hebrew just means the name. So they use the name by saying the name. They won't say it. And because they haven't used that name for centuries, no one knows how it's pronounced. They don't know for certain. So we used to think it was pronounced Jehovah. And you'll see various songs that have Jehovah. But actually, we now think it's pronounced Yahweh. But sometimes the W's put a V in there because it could be a V. So, quite complicated. But from our perspective, my purpose was, first of all, I thought, why not? I felt God place it in my heart to talk about Yahweh. This is the actual word, YHWH. Because the psalmist has used it five times. It is significant. There is meaning. Because the psalmist wants us to know that the psalm is talking about the God, the divine, supreme ruler of everything. He didn't want us to doubt it. He wanted us to make sure we knew that when it's Lord, it is Lord. In your Bibles, don't forget, if you see Yahweh, the Bible translates it as Lord in capitals. You know then it's the divine name used by God about himself. Lord, I just want to pray, Lord. I pray that I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am, Lord. That we pick up that, Lord. That we don't suffer from insecurities. Lord, that we have you as our rock and foundation, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right. Let's actually read the psalm itself, shall we? Just thinking about it. This is really important. What is written here is really, really important because it tells us who God is. And if we know who God is, and we have a true understanding of who God is, we can start to reflect that in our lives. So when we're going through this and going through the other slides, just think, this is who God is. I can see, so in effect, let the psalm affect how we see God, because how we see God affects how we see things, how we think, how we speak, and how we act. It will impact our lives. So it's important we understand who God is. Just wanted to share that. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Lord, I just pray that we go in a deeper way with you, and the very fact of what this psalm says changes us to be more and more like you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's read it. So, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Now, let's go through the verses in turn. And funny enough, starting in verse 1. I just think the first three words say it all. The Lord reigns. What an amazing opening. Such a powerful and explicit statement. Straight to the point, avoidance of all doubt, the Lord reigns. Start as you mean to go on. It's not a debate. It's not a wish or a hope. It's a fact. Hold on to that. It's a fact. God is not waiting to be elected, appointed, crowned. He can't be uncrowned, overthrown. He is the eternal King. He is in control. That's what that sentence says, and the rest can confirm it. It goes on. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty. He's royalty. He's the king. He's enrobed in beauty, dignity, holiness, majesty. And armed with strength. Not only glorious, but powerful. His strength secures creation. This is a language of readiness, protection, power, and authority. God is not passive, he's active, strong, and sovereign. Indeed, the world is established, firm, and secure. It was established by divine order. Remember, at the beginning in Genesis, he spoke the world and universe into existence. In contrast to the chaos and instability we see around us, God's reign brings stability. It is solid and secure under his rule. He holds all things together. God's rule brings order, not chaos, in the world and in our lives. He brings order to our lives. That's so important. If we know God, we have order. We may go through struggles, but we have order. We have someone who can put things right. Verse 2 says, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. His throne predates time. He has always reigned. Before time began, he was king. We do not worship a temporary ruler. But, as the song we sang earlier, he is the Ancient of Days. Human rulers come and go. Fall, rise, whatever it might be, but they go. But God's reign is eternal. He is the only uncreated being. See John 1. The source of everything else which exists. Genesis, beginning. There is no time or space in which Lord God is not sovereign. Psalm 90 covers that. In our lives, we can often feel like things are spinning out of control. But Psalm 93 reminds us, God is not shaken. He is not surprised by our circumstances. He reigns eternally with majesty and strength. See, for me, it's let this truth shape your prayer life. When we pray, we're not speaking to a distant deity. We're speaking to the actively reigning King who hears our requests and acts. So if you are ever feeling unsure, remember who is in control. Praise him. Ask him. Don't beat about the bush. Just do it. He wants us to. The psalm now shifts. The imagery has changed. It's talking about seas, or in some Bibles it talks about floods. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Like Alice said a few weeks ago, the poetry in Psalms builds upon each line. And here you can see the repetition building intensity, pounding waves. You know, moving waters are very strong. Over time, they can wear down rocks, but also they can obliterate walls in an instant. The Israelites would have seen these images of the sea as representing trouble, oppression, fear, chaos, and danger. In fact, an image representing the very struggles and trials we all face, pounding waves on our lives. What are the crashing waves in your lives at the moment? Anxiety, grief, illness, pain, family struggles, conflict, doubt, loneliness. There's many. You know what? If anything, if you're struggling at the moment, I'd love to pray for you at the end. Just come and find me or find one of the leaders, find your life group leaders, find a friend. Pray about it. Pray to God who reigns, who's all-powerful. Because the good thing is, there's a turning point. The heart of the psalm is this, the solution for our troubles. Mightier than the thunder of great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Yes, the seas roar. Yes, the chaos is real. But God is mightier. No matter how loud the chaos, how strong the opposition, how deep the sorrow, God is mightier. No matter how anything in going on in your life, God is mightier. God is mightier than the most terrifying force of nature. The sea, which is often feared, as I said, by the ancient Near East culture, is under his control. Think about the Bible. If you're doubting it, think about Noah and the flood. God preserved Noah and his family and the animals. Moses, the Red Sea, parted under God's command. Jesus calmed the storm with just a word. And he walked on water, as did Peter, and so can we. We can walk on water, and I love walk on water because it's wow. And it just makes me think, walk on water, wow. Psalm 93 doesn't deny the storms. It just declares so simply that God is mightier. He is greater. When you feel overwhelmed, speak this truth aloud. The Lord reigns and is mightier than any storm. Any struggles you're in, speak to God. Whatever threatens us, be it spiritual, emotional, or physical, God is greater. His power is unmatched. Whenever you're facing grief, anxiety, pain, conflict, God is greater. We mustn't measure our problems by our own strength, but measure it by God's strength. So important. We mustn't focus on ourselves. We've got to try and focus on God. It's hard in difficult times. What are the waves crashing in your lives? What are the waves crashing in your lives? You know what? Whatever they are, take them to God. We can pray for you, but God, he's in charge. He reigns. And then it shifts. The final verse of the psalm shifts. It goes from cosmic power to personal holiness. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. The verse ties God's reign to his moral character. In a world of lies, confusion, shifting values, broken promises, God's word, his statutes, his decrees, his laws, his promises are trustworthy and secure. The world doesn't offer that. God does. As a church, we are called to reflect God's holiness. Not perfection, but devotion. Not legalism, but love for purity. Let us be people who trust his word, pursue his holiness, not out of fear, but out of reverence for the one who reigns. It says here about adorns your house. That would be the temple back then. But as we know, the temple back then isn't the temple anymore. Rome's destroyed it in 70 AD. The temple in the New Testament is ourselves. Our body is a temple. Holy Spirit lives in us and guides us. So we are the temple. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Are you? Holiness is not optional. It's the right thing to do. What a challenge. What a challenge. I wonder how God's holiness is shaping your worship. Your choices, your relationships, your very actions. How are you at being holy? How are you at being righteous? How are you at doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, for the right person? It's a real challenge for all of us because we're on a journey towards that. We'll never get there, but we're on a journey until we go to heaven. Let me just give you a moment to think about how your holiness is. And the things perhaps you can change, I'm thinking too. You know what? We need to be people who trust his word, even when it's countercultural. Pure holiness, pursue it, not out of fear, but out of reverence, saying, Lord, I want to reflect your character, your example in my life. Just pray it. And then just see what happens. Incrementally, you'll see yourself get more and more like Jesus. So what is this psalm teaching us? It's telling us who God is. Remember at the beginning I said, our view of God will be reflected in how we act and behave. So think about what this psalm says. And there's a great theologian, anyone who's doing studying theology through commission will have heard of Wayne Grudem. Probably no one here studying theology. Great, great theologian. And in his systematic theology book, which is about that thick, he says this. About God. Only God exists by virtue of his very nature. He was never created and never came into being. He always was. God's being is also something totally unique. It is not just that God does not need the creation for anything. God could not need the creation for anything. The difference between God's being and ours is more than the difference between the sun and a candle, more than the difference between the ocean and a raindrop, more than the difference between the Arctic ice cap and a snowflake. More than a difference between the universe and the room we are sitting in. God's being is qualitatively different. No limitation or imperfection in creation should be projected onto our thought of God. He is the creator. All else is creaturely. All else can pass away in an instant. He necessarily exists forever. He is the holy, unchanging, eternal, majestic King who rules and reigns over everything, stronger and mightier than any storm we face. A personal, holy God we can follow and be like. And who are we to be? Holy citizens of his kingdom. That's all we've got to be. We work at it. Let this psalm be your anchor. When the world shakes, when your heart trembles, when your seas roar, remember, the Lord reigns. On a personal note, and I hope you have something similar to this in your life, especially in times of trouble. See, when I stand at Feltham Beach and look out to sea, look across, I see God's creation. I see what God has done in the world. And I'm that little bit, and yet so massive and expensive. And it moves me to thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. What a great place to live. To praise, to in awe and reverence of God, of the God who reigns. Let me pray to end. Lord, you reign. You are robed in majesty, armed with strength, and your throne is eternal. You are mightier than the seas that rise against us. Help us trust your word and walk in your holiness. May your peace guard our hearts, and may your reign be evident in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship our God who reigns. Andy will remind us, but there's going to be a moment towards the end of the song where there'll just be music playing. In that moment, speak to God. Speak to God about the things in your life that you'd like help with. But also speak to God and say, thank you for these things, Lord. Thank you for this. But it's a moment to share yourself with God. You don't need to speak out loud. Just speak. God can hear your thoughts. And if anyone wants to come and chat to me, as I spoke at the beginning, or wants prayer, then come and see us afterwards.